This is Bob from KTWH Radio, and today I'm talking with Sarah Gomez, who is a program director at the Minnesota Academy of Science. Sarah describes herself as a proud child of Mexican immigrants, who was associated with both the Mazatec and Diné Indian groups. She was trained as an environmental biochemist and worked in a number of research science efforts, has also taught high school sciences and mathematics. Because of her background and current job, she's a great person to talk to about what it's like to pull together a career in a STEM-related field without the kinds of help and resources that are available to mainstream students in what has traditionally been a white male world of research science. Sarah, welcome to KTWH Radio.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Well, first of all, please correct any problems with how I pronounced your name or the names of the cultures that your family is from.
Oh, you did a pretty good job. My name is Sarah Gomez, and the indigenous group my dad is from is Mazatec, and the indigenous group my mother is from is Diné, which is also known as Navajo.
Okay, cool. Let's start with that heritage. You know, as a Finnish guy who grew up in northern Minnesota, I have to admit that my experience with other ways of life is limited. So if you can help us learn a little bit about those cultures and also, you know, what it was like where you grew up.
So I'm from Corpus Christi, Texas, which is a sparkling city by the bay. My parents both immigrated from Mexico when they were pretty young, like in their late teens with their parents and their families. So they had some, you know, time being in the country before me and my many brothers and sisters came along. I'm from a family of seven kids.
Sure.
And so I'm really proud of their whole story and how they came over and, like, you know, what they had to struggle with and coming to America and learning to speak English and, you know, getting educated and getting jobs and being able to support us as a family. But obviously, it's a different climate in Texas, and because we are so close to the border, you know, there is a lot of tension still to this day about, you know, immigrants, you know, being in Texas, especially Mexican immigrants and all sorts of Latin American country immigrants now.
Yeah, it seems like especially these days, yeah.
Yeah, you know, I mean, and it also just does have a lot to do with, like, you know, policies and, you know, what is being highlighted by the media and what isn't. You know, and so I kind of grew up a lot in that world of, like, they're taking our jobs kind of thing.
Yeah, okay.
So, so my parents, you know, I think oftentimes we definitely had a strong community in Texas of other, you know, Mexican-American families. Mexicans have a really strong, you know, standing in Texas. We're deeply ingrained in the culture of Texas. Texas
sure.
used to be Mexico.
Oh, yeah.
So there is a lot of Mexican heritage and culture there. But despite that, and the large populations of Mexicans in Texas and other Latinos in Texas, it is still really hard not to feel like your family is not some type of disease. That has kind of encroached in, not like, you know, in Texas and America and everything. So, you know, even though my parents, they immigrated and our grandparents had come later on, they had moved back to Mexico and then came back to America, and they spoke only Spanish. And I remember even, like, being in the store, and we wouldn't be able to speak Spanish to our grandparents because our parents thought it would just, we'd be looked down on, you know, like it was really important to them that we grew up without an accent of any kind, and that we, you know, weren't learning Spanish only, you know, growing up. They, you know, encouraged our grandparents to talk to us only in English. So, you know, which is kind of hard, like, if your parents are doing that kind of thing just to protect you from, you know, some of society's, you know, worst inclinations, then you are kind of learning that there's something to be ashamed of. So that is something, you know, I think that every child of immigrants, like, no matter where they're from, and also, like, a lot of, you know, Latino, like, Americans, like, have to kind of overcome, is, like, learning that they can be proud of their culture and that there's nothing to be ashamed of. And that luckily the shifting cultural zeitgeist is to be, like, take ownership of your culture and to show it off and to teach people about it.
Okay. Well, let's step forward here. And how did you get interested in STEM from that background?
Well, it's funny. I really, in high school, I didn't really think I was really any good at math or science or at any point in school. I've always been more of a reader and a writer. Sure. That was what I thought I would end up pursuing in college. You know, when I talk about the prejudice against immigrant families, in Texas, that's, there were a lot of teachers involved in that too. And so maybe I wasn't encouraged as much, not just from for my culture, but also because I'm a woman, and that is a really commonplace thing with a lot of female identifying groups, is that they don't really get encouraged to do math and science, which is, hopefully changing. There's a whole landscape for changing that. But yeah, so I wasn't really encouraged. I didn't think I was good at it. And I started to do, in my senior year of high school, I started to volunteer tutoring kids after school. And my job was to be tutoring them with English, reading and writing and composition, forming and things like that. But, the kids that I was working with, they didn't really need help with that. They needed help with math and science. And so I was kind of I'll give it a whirl. And in trying to help them, really putting an effort into be good enough at it to help them, I realized I was actually pretty good at it. It really came easy to me. And another volunteer there, an older woman, she actually came up to me and was like, "Oh, you're really good at math and science. Do you think that's what you're going to go to college for?" And she was already in her postdoc for aerospace engineering. Uh-huh. and was a Latina, and her parents were the child of Mexican immigrants as well. And so she, there was a lot of identifying markers. And she told me I should look into it. And I, told her, "Well, I don't really know. I've never really even thought about it." So she kind of then came on as my mentor unofficially and just kind of helped me look at some majors and talk to me about what I'm interested in and the things, that I really enjoy doing. And, I've always been really outdoorsy, and I like going on hikes, and I like learning about plants, and a lot of my culture with my grandparents, plants are plants in the natural world are really well revered and respected. Sure. And used as medicines and therapies. So I'd always had that connection and been fascinated by it. And she kind of set me on my way as going forward for studying biology. And then when I started in college studying biology, I was kind of how did I even end up here? But I was doing incredibly well. And then I took my first real chemistry class, and I really adored that. So my major kind of took the biochem and for environmental biochem. So I loved it, and I really excelled. And, she gave me a lot of support in how to talk to my professors, which is not something I knew how to do as a first generation college student, and how to utilize office hours, all these kinds of ins and outs of things that you don't really know unless you have somebody helping you navigate those waters.
Gotcha. I mean, that is a really good summary of what a lot of us have experienced in terms of getting to know somebody who could really help and finding out, yes, they can. And it sounds like it's taken you a long way. I've already said that you've been a research scientist and a teacher and so on. Maybe what we should do, though, is spend some time talking about your current position at the Minnesota Academy of Science. And I know that a lot of us are aware that the science and engineering fair competitions for school kids are overseen by the Minnesota Academy of Science. But can you give us a little bigger idea of what the mission is there and some of the things that it's doing?
Sure. I definitely did start once I got my degree being a research scientist and everything, and I really did enjoy it. But yeah, I did realize what a struggle it was for me, not only to just find out that I was interested in science at a young age, but also to study it in academia, at the college level. So when I kind of got on that experience, I was really interested in how to help other kids kind of find their interest in STEM and also pursue it at a post-secondary level. And the best way to do that was first through education and then moving into nonprofit advocacy for STEM education.
Sure.
So I moved to Minnesota, just about, I think it's been 5 years now, and I immediately found the Minnesota Academy of Science. A lot of people don't know about the Minnesota Academy of Science, but there's academies of science all over the nation. and they're all pretty old. The Minnesota Academy of Sciences was founded in January 6, 1973. You know, so it's one of the older, like, science institutions. They published the first science journal in Minnesota.
Well,
and
I didn't know that.
And since then have continued to kind of be a central place in the state for creating STEM awareness and promoting STEM in education. You know, some of the ways that we've in the past promoted STEM awareness is by having science, what we call science salons, which is bringing the general public in to, like, learn about different, like, STEM industry, which there is a lot of in Minnesota. And then also, like, you know, by getting other academics together, you know, placing STEM professionals and STEM academics in positions where they can interact with younger scientists, like in our programs with the Junior Science Humanities Symposium and the State Science Fair and the Science Bowl, which are all kind of like opportunities for young people to, you know, get a taste of scientific research or, you know, own their scientific prowess and then really get mentored and get some interaction with STEM professionals at these competitions. One of the things that, you know, we realized when I started working at the Minnesota Academy of Science was that we did have these really great programs, you know, and one of our shining programs is the Minnesota State Science and Engineering Fair. Kids from the state of Minnesota do incredibly well at the international competition. Minnesota is a heavy hitter. You know, we have a lot of really great schools here. We have a lot of kids whose parents work in, you know, Fortune 500 STEM industry. You know, there is no lack of really excellent work from Minnesota. But one of the other things about, you know, Minnesota is that there's an incredibly segregated school system. And there's a lot of that is heavily reliant on socioeconomic and racial variables. So when you look at something like the State Science Fair, which is this, like, really representing the best and the best of Minnesota junior science, what we are seeing is that it really wasn't a very accurate representation of the state itself, because it was the kids from some of the best schools, you know, and though they were doing incredible work, they had the most advantage to get their research to a certain point to where they can compete at a state level and also at an international level. But I would go to international science and engineering fair, you know, kind of, they move it around. And I would see kids from, like, some of the worst circumstances come up with some of the best ideas and, like, some of the best research, and they were solving problems in their community. And I really just thought, you know, there's definitely a way it can happen here, and we want to start to do that. So we created a program called SPORS, which is SPORS spelled with an S, and it's stands for Fostering Opportunities and Relationships in STEM Education. And we started this program to work specifically with groups from underrepresented populations in STEM and to get them mentors, because, like I said, mentorship has always been a very important thing for me. Without it, I would have never studied science or known how to study science at a college level. You know, getting them mentors, also getting them experience with STEM activities so that they know what they like, what they're interested in, you know, and also getting them to meet other scientists. One of the biggest things, you know, we have this program called STEM in 10 through 4s, and it is basically a STEM professional, any STEM professional from, you know, all over the state of Minnesota or all over the country, really, can create a video of themselves answering 10 questions and send it to us. And then those videos then go out to kids all over Minnesota in schools that, you know, have lower funding for resources and kids that otherwise wouldn't get, like, this type of STEM enrichment. And they learn about what these scientists do. And the principle behind that is really, like, a kid cannot dream to be something unless they even know it exists. These scientists that are telling kids about what they do and kind of giving them a snapshot of the day in the life of are, like, creating this next generation of people who want to come and fill the space that they're holding for them.
I was going to say that's really a good information. The FORCE program sounds like a really great thing. And I haven't been in the secondary school systems for quite a while, so I was, you know, fairly unaware of that effort. I do appreciate you being able to tell us about that. Before we actually wrap up an interview here, though, I want to be fair and let you make up a question if you have one. In other words, if there's something that I'm leaving out here, If there's anything else that you would like to say at this point, go for it.
Well, I mean, just a general message that, you know, that we all kind of have a responsibility of bringing up the next generation. That if you're in a position to help that effort, you should, you know, inspiring kids and letting them know that they're capable is incredibly important, incredibly precious. And it's, you know, it's a lot of what we're trying to do at our work at MAS, not just with kids, but with the greater public, is like making sure that everybody knows they can be an advocate for STEM, that they can educate themselves, and that we're here to help. If you would like to help us and like what we're doing with FORCE, you can go to our website. It's mnmas.org. That's MN like the abbreviation for the state of Minnesota, and then MAS like Minnesota Academy of Science.org. And you can go to our volunteer options and you can fill out a form and we'll ask you everything that you're comfortable doing as a volunteer. And then we'll reach out to you with those opportunities that fall in the range of what you're comfortable with doing. You know, we're a nonprofit, and just like every nonprofit all over the place, you know, we rely really heavily on the support of others, that they understand and that they really want to help us with what we're doing. And so we really rely on that to exist. So if you are ready and willing, you know, to get out there and make a difference in the community, then give us some notice and we'll help you with some opportunities in order to do that.
Yeah, and while we're at it, is there a path for someone who would be like you were, who is just looking to see if there's something that you guys can do for like an individual student? Is it best to go through their school system, or is there somebody there that they could contact and talk to, or how does that work?
Yeah, if you go to mnmas.org, which is our website, the Minnesota Academy of Science website, you know, you can be a teacher, you can be an individual, you can be a child, you can be a parent. But if you go to our programs and go to FORCE, that's again FORCE spelled with an S, FORCE, and it will ask you a couple of things. You can go through the information on that page. And there is a button to click if you want to register a group or an individual to receive resources. So that button will take you to a form, and it'll kind of ask you, who are you and what resources do you need? And then, you know, I am the person that reviews those forms and looks over it and sees how we can best help you. So if you feel like you are wanting to do research and you're a kid and you want to do some research for a science fair or just for your own interest, but you feel like you need some guidance, we will pair you with a mentor. We'll get you a mentor from like one of our local universities, or a STEM professional mentor, and they'll help you through, you know, the process of conducting that research or whatever it is you're interested in doing.
That all sounds terrific. You know, I very much appreciate you joining me today for this interview. And I guess I just want to say thank you. And we'll leave it at that. I wish you folks down there the best. I'm a member and I know something about the good work that's being done there. So it's just nice to have our kids up here get a little more aware also, and our teachers. So thanks.
Oh, thank you so much for giving me some time today to talk about something that I really care about and really love and enjoy. I appreciate the platform.
All right. Thank you.